was, W2JKT.
Intel, it's Monday morning.
Up on the screen, it's red all the way down to exit 80.
I'll turn at the detour sign, so I'm headed back over towards 85 now.
You pass with each other.
Heading on up there, KA3JCA, good morning there. Eric, Patrick, and Ken.
KN4TFW.
JKT. Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's the police have all the entrances closed and they were blocking traffic, so I think it's a construction closure.
Brought up the news on 4, I'm just waiting to see if they have anything about the highway traffic.
At 80, and I don't see anything on the southbound side. Just now passing that Shell station where the chargers are.
Turn right, and I'm headed down toward it, so we're just about to pass each other. What are you driving?
Four, got my flashes on.
Yep, I'm in the lane approaching you right now.
I see your car anyway.
Here you were, so yeah, hopefully they've got it open on the southbound side up here.
I just saw a truck getting on. There's no traffic on the southbound side.
Failing for me for a while.
I came down 26 from North Carolina.
Weird to see nothing on the, nothing on 85 at all. Car coming from, couple cars now coming from the north side, yeah, from north, so they, or maybe were able to get on 83 or something.
Have an awesome day, and then I'm rolling down to the gate, so I gotta get my party started after being gone over a week, so you guys have a good one, I'll catch you later. KN4TFW.
Good luck with that.
KO4HK.
WA3JCA. Great day, W2JKT.
Have a good weekend.
Did pretty good. Just kind of laid around, took it easy. Saturday, I started doing online testing every Saturday at 4 o'clock. So I do online and in person where they come over to the house. But, I had 3 people test Saturday, 2 of them technician and 1 extra.
Hopefully they got their tickets.
Technicians passed, and hopefully they'll have their call sign here today or first thing in the morning. And then the extra, missed it by a few, but is planning on coming back.
Get some more call signs out there.
To find some more general class and extra class that want to do online VE testing from the comfort of their home. But I've got about 54 that I pull from a pool, but sometimes it can get tight there.
Online VE testing.
The online VE testing, you get to test from the comfort of your home using your computer over Zoom, and then there's a software that's provided by hamstudy.org and exam tools, and basically we get you your VE credentials. If you have them already, that's fine, but like I test with Laurel, a Greater Los Angeles Amateur Radio Club is referred to as GLARG, W5YI and ARRL. And once you get certified, and they actually validate you in exam tools and give you roles in that in the computer program, and then you basically test with the team. It's like showing up to an in-person test. Okay, it's saying something about traffic backup, but it's the normal times between the exits on I-4 is normal. But I'm sorry, go ahead, Eric.
You know, I used to be a VE for ARRL, and I gave tests all the time, but, you know, I just got tired of doing all the 500 pages of paperwork to send it in, you know, via the U.S. mail to ARRL. It just seemed awfully antiquated. So if they're doing online testing, it's something I'm interested in doing, you know, as a VE, so I'll have to look into that.
Oh, I know that if you don't have your ARRL credentials still, you can renew them. It's simple. They have the open book 40-question test. But I was going to tell you that if you have credentials with another VEC, if not, let me know. I can get you accredited with W5YI. It usually takes anywhere from 2 days to a week or so. And then once you get your accreditation with one VEC, you can send in just the front page application to the ARRL and ask for instant accreditation, Eric. And what you do is look up my call sign on QRZ and my email is correct. And I can send you the application there to fill out. And like I said, get it all processed. But then what we'll do is we'll have you go in and create an account and exam tools. And everything is now electronic. So the bottom line is, let me get a nickel here. You have the sessions or teams that you test with. I test with about 12 different teams throughout the day. So I test anywhere from 3 to 10 or 12 times per day, Saturday through Sunday. Some days it's none, and then some days it's a lot. But whoever the lead is will send out an email with a Zoom link, and the volunteer examiners log in, and they shoot the breeze for whatever for 20, 30 minutes before the exam, kind of get the room ready, and then the applicants start filling up by invite from their ML when they registered on exam tools or hemp study. And then once they get their invitation, we take them in the room and we put 4 volunteers minimum into the breakout rooms for the applicant to take the test. And it's just like if you were having an in-person session, you make sure that their computer is kind of locked down or cleaned out where they're not running stuff in the background. You make sure that they're not using a cell phone or other tablet or other device to look up questions and answers. You make sure there's no TVs, no one else is in the room with them. It's a pretty decent process for vetting the applicant to get ready to take the test. Then we give them a link to log in to the test. We have to admit them to the test, generate a test, and then we grade the test, and they'll know right then and there if they pass.
I'll have to look into it. I do have Western North Carolina VE, I think. I got it back when I had the ARRL, but I don't think the Western North Carolina accreditation expires. So I'll have to make sure I still have it. But as long as that's good, I'm definitely interested in doing that. So I'll look into it this afternoon when I get home.
As far as I understand, I know I have one, and I mean, I don't know what color they are now, but I have a laminated Western North Carolina, Western Carolina, you said, it's a West Cars badge, and it's like yellow in a plastic thing, and it has no expiration date on it. The ARRL puts an expiration date on theirs, and they were, until the system got hacked, ARRL, you could stay current as long as your license was current for that 10 years, but they also took you off the active list if you weren't testing within, like, I think it was a 5-year period that you haven't tested. You go into an inactive status.
The ARRL is certainly inactive, and I don't really have any interest in renewing them. So, but my Western Carolina should still be good, and I do remember the yellow laminated card. I don't know if I still have it. But I'll have to check at home to see if it's still in the in my storage locker that's out of my shed. I've moved a couple of times, so I'm not really sure where everything is if I never unpacked it.
Excuse me. As long as it's current, I don't believe that Western Carolina is doing any online testing yet. I know they do it in person, and then I believe they are. You send it up to the appropriate stuff is all going to digital. Last month in the July issue, there's an article on, I think it was page 89 of the QST magazine that talks about starting in January that ARRL is doing pretty much away from the mailing all the inventory stock and test out. They're going to go strictly electronic.
But I will believe it when I see it.
You can give me a call later today, and I'll give you a link you can go to, you can actually see the statistics on the top four or five VECs of the 14 that are using exam tools electronically. And you, excuse me, you can actually see the push for electronic online testing versus paper testing, and you can actually see the growth.
Yeah, that electronic testing is the future, but, AWRL is not always quick to adopt the latest best practices, evidenced by the fact that they have no IT security to speak of. I'll check out Ham Study and W5YI and check out all that stuff, but I'll shoot an email up to Western Carolina, see if they can send me a replacement credential if I can't find the one I've got, and just validate that I still have a credential at least somewhere. But yeah, sounds interesting. I think electronic testing is the way to go, and it's definitely the future of it. I think the days of filling in three copies of the same form and doing all this paper stuff need to be put behind us.
The applicants can use their own computer, but I actually have, I bought the Amazon Fire tablets. I have four of them, and they're locked down with licensing software. So I could actually, let's say that you were having a ham fest or a get-together, I could take my little tablets. As long as I have internet access through a hotspot, people could come up and register for their CORS FRM and register for a test and take the test all on the tablet right there at an event. So it's nice. That's how streamlined it has become.
Yeah, was it just like an Amazon Fire tablet or something?
Yeah, Fire tablet. There's a software out there called Foley. It's specifically designed for amateur radio and testing, and it's actually locked down. It locks the tablets so that applicants cannot leave the tablet website or the page and go to a different browser or a different window. All it lets them do is use an online calculator. It's already preloaded in the tablet. I have two versions of calculators. I have the regular Amazon calculator and that other one, RPN or something like that, scientific calculator that's been approved for it. And of course, the tablet itself. And when you're done, you turn them on, or I'll turn them on, and then when you're done, turn them off, and everything's put back in a case, and you're done.
Sure, but yeah, that sounds really cool. I've been wanting to get back into testing for a while, so yeah, well, thanks for all the update on that. I had no idea that that even existed, so that sounds like some great news to me.
You work a lot of times, too, from home, so I don't know what your schedule is during the day, but just to give you an example of what my typical day is, Tuesdays and Thursdays, I do testing at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then Monday through Friday, I do testing at 11 o'clock in the morning at 7 p.m., and then Monday on 8 o'clock, I do one, and 9 o'clock, I do one, and on Tuesday, I do one at 8 and 9. Now, there's a couple that go later, like 10, but I'm usually in bed before I make it to those, but that's just a typical. Sometimes there's more testing and sometimes there's less testing, and then there was a demand for people wanting to take it on Saturday, so I started doing Saturdays at 4 o'clock, and I've actually done 10 applicants just in the last 3 weeks.
Number. So I'll get some time. Maybe I'll just give you a shout and give you a little bit to get all my stuff together. But I don't mind doing online VE testing at all. I think it'd be fun. My work schedule is usually pretty crazy, so I don't know about doing tests during the day, but I can certainly help out. Maybe on a weekend here and there.
What's nice about it is just like with AWRL, if you can make it, fine. If you can't, there's no big deal. We would like to see you at least once a month, but again, we understand, we tell everybody that God, family, and work come first, and so forth like that. So, but you have so many volunteer examiners out there that, and again, we all meet up on Zoom, and we're all good friends, and out of all of this, I've actually had four or five of the VEs from other states, a couple from Indiana, one from Florida, actually two from Florida, one from Tennessee, that have gone through the area, and they actually stopped by the house just to visit, and we grab a bite of lunch or have a drink and visit for a couple hours before they have to hit the road again. So that's been a pleasure for me.
This app that you're talking about that locks down the tablet, what was that called again?
Fully, F-U-L-L-Y. Like I said, if you give me a jingle and or later on I can give you all the links to go to. And the app itself, there's a licensing fee of $89 European or something like that, which is less than $100, but it gives you enough licensing for up to 10 tablets. And I actually have a total of 7 tablets. I have 4 tablets that I use for the testing applicants, but I also have 3 admin tablets. I've created one for me, my wife, and my daughter. But you can also use your own phone. Let's say you showed up to a session, KA3JCA. Let's say you show up to a session and people either bring their own laptop or use a tablet, and in person, volunteer examiners can actually walk around the room with their cell phone and log into the app just through an internet browser. And you can actually, if a person raises their hand and they're ready to have their test graded, you can, you know, you're taught how to do the grading, and administering the test, you can actually grade it from your cell phone. That's how quick it is.
Okay, well, it sounds pretty damn cool. You know, I think this is a good promise for me to get back in. So make some more hams. Yeah, we definitely had some great testing sessions when I lived in Seneca. We would go over to Clemson University and have testing sessions there about once a quarter with our group of VEs, and we would probably have anywhere between 5 and 10 people testing every time, but it got so tedious with all of the paperwork that had to be done. We decided to, you know, I moved up here and just decided not to get back, you know, not to bring it with me. So anyway, thanks for the info on that. W2JKT.
I'll be out there, Patrick, but I know Patrick and I have talked about this a little bit, but so alrighty. Well, there was some kind of a car accident near Anderson, but it was really mangled up, but I didn't catch which road it was on.
Here again at 101, milepost 61 southbound. It's coming to a stop again. I don't know if we've got an incident up ahead or what.
Are you heading toward Georgia or toward Charlotte?
No, headed southbound right now.
So, yeah, I just turned the volume up a little bit more. I turned it down and caught the crash on the screen. One person is dead, and the car was really mangled up. But like I said, I didn't catch if it was off of I-4 or not.
It was an adventure getting to work. I think last week, I don't know if it was Monday or Wednesday last week, they had that big wreck on 85 South up at my exit 96. But, yeah, there's always at least one day a week where it's just a dumpster fire.
I heard yesterday that Richard Simmons died, but I also, there was a lady, and I just forgot her name, she played that charm, what was it, Sally? Oh, Shannon Doherty died at age 53 from cancer, and I'm learning a lot. I didn't watch a lot of news this weekend, so.
And for news, for sure, Richard Simmons died, Shannon Doherty died, and somebody tried to off Trump, so, you know, it was an interesting weekend.
The other night, it read something that they had the person in custody, and then I was reading last night where that apparently he was shot dead. So I'm not sure what. I haven't gone back in. I was really tired when I was looking at it about 2:30, 3 o'clock this morning.
Backup. There is a backup at the exit ramp at exit 60. I think there's a disabled truck or something. Can't really make out what's going on, but yeah, the exit 60 off ramp at I guess it's a BMW plant is all backed up.
Glad I do not travel or commute anymore.
We're definitely on the war path to just get everything paid off so we can get, you know, simpler jobs closer to home or just work at our wine shop, you know, and just get out of the rat race.
You're like me. I'm slowly but surely, even though I'm disabled and semi-retired, Sally's working from home now as my caregiver, and we finally got the VA to approve to pay her in addition to her working part-time from the home and doing the computer work. But that's one thing that I've actually had a major achievement this year, is getting things paid down to where hopefully I'll probably have my house paid off in 7 years.
A new job that came with a substantial raise a few months ago, so that's going to help. And then, you know, she and I own the two houses next door to each other in our neighborhood because we needed all the extra space for all the dogs. And for our work-at-home offices and stuff. But we're looking at selling the extra house in the next couple of years as some of the dogs age out and get down to one house. And then once we're down to one house and one mortgage, it'll be pretty quick. And then, you know, we can just get everything knocked out. So, yeah, definitely looking forward to, you know, exiting the workforce. Or at least, you know, we just bought into a wine shop and we're opening a second location over in Kings Mountain. You know, we got one in Shelby already. And, you know, maybe just retire into doing a fun job like that instead of just having to do this commute every day.
I'll have to get Sally in here on the radio and talk to Eric because she likes wine. And my brother, I'm not going to say he's one of those wine connoisseur dudes, but, I mean, he spent some time overseas in Germany and Spain and so forth like that. So he's gotten to know his dries and semi-dry and sweet wines and so forth like that. And he's helped my wife understand wines more in general. And she's more of a Moscato, a sweet wine, fruity wine drink. Not so much the dry or semi-dry, but she's learning. But we occasionally will go places and pick up. We'll go through the wine tasting and try different wines. We went up to the place up in Asheville, the Biltmore. There we go, Biltmore, and went through their wine tasting thing, and it was pretty nice and pretty interesting.
LEA exam. Cordy and I are studying for our Spanish wine scholar exams coming up here in a couple months, and then we also need to take the sommelier exams. But yeah, if she likes sweet wine, I always love to recommend an Albarino to people who like sweet wine. So an Albarino is not necessarily a sweet wine, but if you get an Albarino from the Gies Baixas region in Spain, they're very, very acidic. They have a very high acidity, which gives you sort of the same kind of mouth-watering effect that the high sugar does in a Moscato. So it's very different than a Moscato. It definitely has a different taste, but it has a lot of the same sort of, like, mouth-watering effects. And they're very, very light and crisp and easy to drink. So an Albarino, either from Portugal or from... In Portugal, it's more like a Vinho Verde. But in the Gies Baixas region of Spain, the Albarinos are very, very bright and acidic and very easy. So that's what I love to tell people who like to drink sweet wines, is like try a high acidity white as opposed to the high sugar and see what you think.
Okay, yeah, I actually just typed it up right here and she likes the lighter colored wines like that. I don't know if it's, I guess Albarino's all of a white wine.
All variety.
Okay, yeah, all right. I just want to make sure I was on the right spot. But yeah, well, I'll actually do this. And actually, I want to say one of the bottles, I'm trying to blow it up here. There's one that's called, I can't even read it, the print's so small, Montevegra. It's in a blue bottle, and I want to say that she's had that bottle before.
For me?
This is KA3JCA. Blue bottle, it's F-I-N-C-A, and it's Montevega, M-O-N-T-E-V-E-I-G-A. It's in a blue bottle. That's one of the ones that I think that she's had before.
Yeah.
I can't see the finer print, but it's, when I typed in Albarino, these were the top 10 Albarino wines. And it's in a bluish bottle. And then they also have a Navarro de Mendoza, the Atis Nanya, and a couple other names.
But Albarino is a very, very good good wine, so I like them a lot. There's also Vino Verde, V-I-N-H-O-V-E-R-D-E, is a Portuguese wine that is also very pleasurable to drink. And they, Mapreco is the vineyard, but they have a, both a white and a rosé and a Vino Verde, and they're very, very good, and they're also just slightly effervescent, so it's not like a full bubbly, but they're just a little bit of an effervescence in them, so it makes them kind of fun to drink. It's very easy. They're also Vino Verdes are also kind of low alcohol, so you know, they're a lot easier on you.
I thought he was gonna show this to my wife, but I actually went further down the page, and that one that I was telling you about is from Spain, and it says Mar de Frutas, Cinco Montevideo, Albarino, Rias, Bioxis, 2018 version.
Rias Baixas is the region. So Rias Baixas is in the northwestern part of Spain, north of Portugal, and that's where all of the best Albarino comes from. In fact, that the Rias Baixas region, like 99% of the wine it produces is Albarino.
You definitely have something to talk about when you call me, but.
Richard, I was driving past this noisy street sign at exit 51.
I said, we'll have something to talk about when you call. We'll talk about VE stuff, and we'll talk about some wines.
Number from Patrick, so I'll text you a couple links, too, to some wines while I'm at work today. Let you check some stuff out, but yeah, if you're ever in Shelby, stop by the shop too. You know, we have a whole bunch of stuff on hand. The shop's owner, you know, she's also a Spanish wine scholar, certified sommelier, and all this stuff. And she has a really good selection there. And she, her target is sort of, you know, we're in Shelby, right? So we can't have super expensive wine, but she does pick out really, really good stuff from all over the place. So yeah, if you're ever in town, feel free to stop by.
Well, I'm going to let you run here. My wife's already jumping up and down for joy. She's like, wine, wine. But my daughter just brought me my breakfast here. Eric, you drive safe, and I know Patrick's out there. Sorry to leave you hanging, sir. You guys both have a wonderful day. KA3JCA.
It was good talking to you. WTJKT 73.